Aloha, I'm Rob Ashton, and I am recording this from the sunny shores of Hawaii, where I've spent the past 2 weeks learning how to surf. Badly. Because of this, I missed my flight to Seattle, and that's why I'm now recording from the office of TechPub in Hanalei. Anyway, moving on, this is me, I'm Rob Ashton, I do Node.js, I do Ruby, I do PHP, I do .NET, I do whatever I'm being paid to do at the time. I mainly help teams do TDD or whatever, but we don't care about that too much. What we're here to talk about today is Node.js and Azure. This is my Azure portal currently, and there's nothing there at the moment. And down here, what we have is a directory, which is a Git repo. We have a gitignore that ignores node modules. That's fairly important. We don't want node modules to be part of a Git repo. We have a package.json, which is fairly sparse, just brings in Express.js as a basic starting point. And we have a server.js, which brings in Express, instantiates it, listens on port 8003, listens on the root URI, and returns hello world when invoked. If I pop down here and run this, and then go to my browser, as we can see, hello world. Wow, super exciting. Now, the first thing I do when building any application in any language or platform is sort out deployment. And I sort out deployment because I don't want to be wasting time at the end of my development process working out why I can't deploy because I missed out some step to make it easy to deploy. And also during development I like to show my client my product over and over again to get feedback, and the easiest way to do that is have some easy way of deploying it. And cloud services such as Azure are a very good way of getting to that point quickly and easily. And let me show you why that is. As mentioned, I've got a very basic application over here, and I'm just running over here. I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to open up a new terminal. I'm going to open it up in that directory. There's a directory just there. Now, earlier on, I installed the Azure tools by typing npm install azure-cli-g. That installs a binary in my global path so I can do things with that. This works on Windows or Mac or Linux or whatever you're choosing here. And this gives me a command line tool called Azure, which I can do things with. There we go, there's a list of things I can do. Very exciting. Now, I don't really care about most of these things, but if I just show very quickly Azure site list, we should get a list of sites that I have access to administer. As we can see, I haven't got any website, no site created yet. That's because, as shown over here, I haven't got any, of course. The command line tools use the same APIs as the portal we see there, so theoretically we can do most things we can do in the portal with the command line tools. And of course my preference is to use the command line tools and the APIs because they can be automated, and I can build up scripts during the process of development to do all these things for me automatically, which is kind of cool. Now I'm going to go ahead and create a new website, and I'm going to specify that I want to use Git. I want to use Git for deployment. Now because this is a Git repository already, Azure will use that and do things for me. Let's watch how it plays out. I need a name for this, and I'm going to call this space 1234 because I've got a big imagination and that's what sprang to mind right now. I need to choose a region. I'm going to choose West US. Now I'm going to go choose West US because I actually have a VM already running inside West US and I'll want to connect that later. So it's good that they're co-located for both cost and performance reasons. There we go. So now I've actually got a remote called Azure. If I do git remote-v, we can see I can actually push to a remote called Azure and do a deployment. Before I do that, let's just go and have a look and see what space 1234 looks like before doing this. As you can see, we've got a placeholder. There's nothing here, but we can deploy using git TFS or FTP. I'm not sure why you'd use TFS for anything, but you know, git's there, we're going to use that. I'm going to git push Azure and specify master, and I'm going to see how that plays out. Now it'll take a small amount of time first time around because Azure has to work out what exactly it is I'm giving it. So it's got to copy some files across, it's got to do a little bit of work the first time. So we'll give it a bit of time to do that. But I'm going to hang around and wait for this to happen because I want to point out a few things as we Azure starts giving me feedback over its actions. As you can see, it's just a plain old Git push to a remote. There's nothing special about this. There we go. Once this Git push is finished, Azure goes, hey, I've got a new deployment, which is cool. I'm going to update some submodules. I haven't got any, so it doesn't do anything. I'm going to generate a deployment script, and I'm going to copy across all the files in your repository. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you that your package.json has not specified the Node.js engine version constraint, which means it's going to run with the default Node.js version 0.6.20. Well, that's not so cool, because 0.6 is quite old. So I'm probably going to change that very shortly and show how I might do that. But before I do that, let's go and see what we have now. Oh, we have an error. Why have we got an error? Well, that's because if we look at the code over here, I've not actually done anything to actually make this run in Azure. I've specified a hard-coded port over here, which is 8003. And Azure doesn't know I'm listening on 8003. How could it? Which means my application's not going to work. Now, the way we tend to configure Node.js applications is we tend to use environment variables, which are available via process.env over here. In this case here, the environment variable we're looking for is port. And if we haven't got a port passed to us, we're just going to coalesce and use 8003 instead, because that's how we roll. Cool. While we're here, I'm actually going to pop into my package.json and I'm going to fix my engines problem as well. I'm going to say, you know what? My engines that I want to use, I want Node.js to be, I don't know, any version of 0.8 we have available. I'm going to do that because 0.8 is what I'm currently running on my machine, which means I know my modules and packages all work on that. And it's a good idea to make sure, generally, that we're running the same version of things on our client and our server. It's not too important, but it will make life easier in the future if we go down this route. So now I've done this, and now I've made these changes. I'm just going to pop over here. I'm going to do a git add. I'm going to do a commit, and I'm going to say, fix the port in the server, and forced engine to be 0.8.x. There we go. How do I get a new version up there? Well, I simply push back to Azure again. Git push Azure master. Now, it should be much faster this time, because it hasn't got to do an awful lot. Oops, I got a password wrong. That does happen sometimes. I can be a clumsy oaf. There you go. So this time, it's not going to take too long. It's just going to go, oh, new version, update, 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 and boom, there we go. And as you see, this time, because I specified the version, we selected 0.8.2, which is fantastic. You see, we're not going to be falling back to 0.6 now specified. Now, what has happened if I go to the URL? Hello world. So my application works as expected. This is great. I now have deployment all sorted out and everything is flying onto the cloud and I can do things there. Okay, great. Now, I can't just do everything with plain old HTTP like this. You know, I could start building applications where I say, hey, you know what? app.get / function request response. I could do things like rest.send h1 hello world h1, and I could set up my media type so it would be HTML, you know, add header. I could do this, but wow, that'd be tedious. One of the great things we have in Node is the NPM package repository, and inside there's a plethora of fantastic modules to choose from for building applications. And because we have control over our entry point in this way, it tends to be that we can build an application out of whatever bits and bobs we feel to be right for what we want to achieve. And that means as a team, we can build applications with technologies that we feel comfortable with and do things in a way that we want to. But that means you have to make choices. Now, the choices that I tend to make are very simple. I tend to use a package called Jade for my view engines, and I'll cover that now. just leave this and have a look at my directory again. I've got a directory over here called views, and in here I've got two files, index.jade and master.jade. Now this master is just a master page. I'm going to pull in some JavaScript and some CSS. I'm going to create a placeholder called head and a placeholder called content. I'm going to allow some kind of Moodle dialogue to take place down here. These two things here are what are important though. These are my placeholders. Let's quit out of that. If I go index.jade over here, we extend our master page. For head, we specify the title of the web page. And for content, we pull in the hero unit and pass out a few divs with some headers and things and a little button down the bottom over there. It's not too exciting. Now this syntax I find quite nice. You know, there's no angle brackets, there's no semicolons, there's not too much noise going on. So I'm a big fan of Jade. Now obviously you could use Mustache here, or you could use plain old HTML. You could use whatever view engine you feel comfortable with. That's the beauty of Node. You got to pull these things in and use them how you like. But I'm going to use Jade because it's what I like. I'm a big fan of it. To actually hook this up, the first thing I need to do is type in npm install Jade. I'm going to say --save because that will update my package.json for me. And that's important because my package.json is what tells my Azure website the modules that I need to make things work. So if I look at my package.json now, we've actually got Jade down here and it's been told that's what we're using. Well, that's absolutely great. Now clearly that by itself isn't enough. What I need to do is configure Express to actually use this. And we do this by specifying the view engine. This is a special thing built into Express. So my views are going to be found over here. There you go, inside my views. And I want to use my view engine of Jade. Now because I've installed the Jade npm package, that should get discovered automatically already. Groovy. So, I'm going to restart my web server at this point by typing node server again. Well, I'm not going to do this every single time I change my code. So, I'm going to use another module which I've already installed, code nodemon. I installed this using npm, npm installed nodemon-g, and all this will do is restart my server every time I change a JavaScript file, so I should never have to come back to this page again. It's good for development. Now I've got this set up, I need to tell Express to actually render this view. So now, rather than send hello world, I'm going to say please render, and please render index. As we saw before in this views directory, we have two files, index and master. We're coming from the views directory, and we're looking for the view called index. I specified just here. That kind of makes sense. If I go over here, refresh. Oops, if I actually save the file first, hit refresh, and actually go to localhost rather than Azure thing, there we go, we got some stuff rendered. Now this is pretty ugly, things aren't quite right. Why aren't they right? Well, let's look at F12 diagnostics. It's because we can't find the static files. These things here are all 4-4ing on us. And that's because Node.js by default isn't going to serve these static files for us. And that's a good thing, because most of the time if you're deploying to your own VPS and things like that, you'll use Nginx to actually serve static files. You won't use Node.js, it's not what it's made for. But for development purposes, it's useful if we actually do this. I'm going to use Express's static middleware, and I say just serve all the static files from the site folder. There we go. I hit refresh now, we should get some styling. That's beautiful. Now, as you can see, I'm actually showing a lot of information here that I don't really want to show. Now, because you haven't seen my game, you wouldn't know that. But this is a div, this is a div, and this is a div. And actually, we only want to show one of these at any one time. Now, to do this, I'll use CSS by default to hide stuff. But I'm not actually going to use CSS. I'm not a big fan of CSS in its raw form. It's very repetitive and laborious and has far too many semicolons and colons in for my taste. I like my things a bit cleaner than that. So I'm going to go ahead and use something called Stylus. Stylus is a really cool CSS processor, which is, you know, similar to Less or Sass, but it's slightly more cool. Well, you know, we'll go with it's slightly more cool. There's not much difference between any of these things. You don't really care which one you use, and they are all available inside NPM, so you can choose just one you use. And the setup of these is very similar all the way around. Now, what I'm going to do is go back into my server over here, and I'm going to say, please use the stylus middleware, which is a function that's going to be executed. And please configure it like so. Anything you find in the site directory with a style prefix, please serve as a CSS file. That's all that's going on there. I got an error because I've not actually included the file yet, so let's go ahead and do that. There we go. And it helps also if I write valid JavaScript. Groovylicious. I'm going to pop into my site folder, and I'm going to make a new file called style.style. And I'm going to populate this, and I'm going to populate this by saying I want to show the instructions div. I want to hide the scoring div, and I want to hide the result div. That's what stylus looks like. As you can see, these map very much to these IDs here. There they are, those things there. And it's being brought in by my master file over here using style.css. Now, style.css doesn't actually exist. I've got style.style, but this little piece of code over here will pick up my style file and return it as a CSS when I make a request, which is kind of cool. Let's go ahead and see what it looks like. First off, let's just look at that. As you can see, my style has been processed into an actual style, a CSS file, which is kind of cool. And that means the divs that I don't want to see are no longer visible. Now, I've already written the game, and I'm going to pull that in without too much forethought. I'm going to pull that in here using my Jade file with a script declaration. Now this just looks like this. It looks like I want a script tag. Type's obviously going to be JavaScript. Why wouldn't it be? And I'm going to bring in game.js, which exists as I've already shown you. Hit refresh. I've now got an amazing game. And my amazing game is pretty much hold down the spacebar as long as you can until you get bored. There we go. Wow, well, is that not the greatest game you've ever seen? Okay, now I've done this, I probably wish to deploy it again. So let's pop over here, let's add this stuff and say, hey, git commit, I wrote a game, it is awesome. And let's go and push this up to Azure. Now, I've actually made a few changes to package.json during this process. So Azure is now going to have to actually install these modules for me, and we'll see it do that now, hopefully. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed also, the internet works. Oh, there we go. And voila, so now we're doing npm install Jade and Stylus. Now these actually have quite a few dependencies as we see, so if we wait a little while for this. But it is all working, and it's now fully deployed. So if I go now to my Space1234 Azure website, this game is now online and completely playable. Oh yes, imagine that. So I've now got this amazing game given to the world, and everyone can play it and have great times, and they can hold down the space bar until they get bored. Maybe they got cats that they play with, and they'd have competitions of who can sit on the keyboard for longest, and you know, whatever, it all works, everything's groovylicious. Games aren't fun unless there's some kind of competitive element. And, you know, a good way to have a competitive element is to have a high scores table, to actually submit scores to the internet and get these things up there. So, you know, let's have a look how you might do this. The first thing I want to do is add a button to actually make the score submittable. So I'm going to go add that over here. I need an input with a class of button and with a class of button primary, And I'm going to call it button submit score. I've already got some JavaScript written that'll pick this up for me. Obviously, it's a button. You know, I've got to say it's a button several times over and over because we're living in the HTML world where we have to repeat ourselves every now and then, especially with Twitter Bootstrap. But that's that. Now, if I pop into my game over here, as you can see, there's stuff already picking this stuff up that'll show a modal dialog for us. And we'll see this in a second. Let's go and have a look. There you go, there's a submit button, and I get a lovely dialog over here where and nothing happens when I click the button. So let's go and write that code. Let's see what we need to do to make that work. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make an AJAX request when I click this button. And the AJAX question is pretty simple. It's going to be a bit of jQuery. I bought jQuery in because I'm feeling lazy today. I'm going to post to a URL called scores. And I'm going to post this data. And when we're successful, we're going to assume we're successful because I'm feeling lazy. I'm going to hide the modal dialog. Oops. There we go. And the data I'm going to pass up, well, I'm going to pass in the name of my person. And I'm going to pass in the score that I've got. Absolutely beautiful. So if I go over here and hit refresh now and hit submit and bring up my network dialog. We make lots of posts over here and we get 404s not found. And that's because I haven't got a root yet. You'd kind of expect that, wouldn't you? Okay, so how am I going to go and do this now? Well, I've already got a get on the root. How about a post scores? Taking in a request and response. And we're going to do some stuff here. Now, the first thing we really want to do is some form of validation. So, oh. Well, I can't do that yet either because I've just put these things up and I've got no way of getting this information out of the body yet. So what I do here is I pull in some more middleware, which is express.bodyparser. And all this will do is before these routes are executed, it will pull the information out of the body, the form, and it will put it on a object on request called body, which means I get to get my name out of body and my score out of body. Very exciting. I'm going to say, hey, if there's not a name, then I want to return res.send no name specified. And if there's no score specified. Except that's not correct because it's actually a truthy value and maybe zero is a valid score. And that's not going to work. So actually I need to say, hey, you know what, if type of score is equal to under 5. Okay, that's no fun. I don't enjoy that very much. And this is not the kind of code that I'd be writing day to day. Let's not do this. It's an awful idea. Instead, let's pop back to the command line over here and let's install something to help us. Let's install Express Validator. Now, Express Validator is another module which uses another module called Validator, and it gives us some handy little hook points for doing validation for us. I'm going to pull this in over here. I'm going to say Validator equals acquire Express Validator, like so. And in my middleware configuration, I'm going to say, you know what, I want you to use this validator stuff. Nice and easy. Now what this will give me is the ability to do validation before doing any of this stuff whatsoever. So I'm going to say request.check that name is not empty. That'll do all the crazy JavaScript stuff for me. I'm going to check that score is actually an integer. Now that's generally quite useful, you know. And I'm then going to say, you know what, if there's an error in this request response pair, just return and leave. Now obviously isError doesn't actually exist yet, so let's go and write that for ourselves now. IsError, there we go. What we're going to do here is get the errors collection from the request. And this has been put here by that middleware I just installed. and say, you know, if there are errors, I want you to send the errors down to the client and return true. Else, turn false. There we go. And now we have validation across our all of our requests in a consistent manner, if we have that kind of stuff going on. And we know that name and score here are completely valid, which is nice. Now, I need to persist these, which is a bit of a bugger, really. But before I do, let's just make sure this code actually works. Let's hit submit with no name, see what happens. Okay, fair enough. We return the data. As you can see, param name, string is empty, blah, blah, blah. I could use this very easily on the client to actually automatically pair error messages with the input fields they're related to, which is kind of cool, you know? That's how you want to roll. But now I want to persist this stuff. Now, because I'm building this globally accessible web game and it's going to be used by thousands of millions of people, and I'm going to make lots of money and retire probably to Hawaii now I've been here, actually. I'm going to retire to Hawaii and do some more surfing. I need something that's web scale. Now, what could be more web scale than MongoDB? So I've installed MongoDB on my Debians, and like a good developer, and now I'm going to say, well, I want to use MongoDB. And like everything in the Node world, there's a package for that. So I'm going to go install that. Now, as you can see here, actually, there are some native components to this, and I had to do a bit of compilation to make MongoDB work on my machine. Thanks to NPM, that's not a problem. It has a cross-platform build system. And that means that I can develop on my local machine using MongoDB, and I can deploy to Azure, which presumably runs on iOS and Windows, and that works just as well as well. Because it will build on Windows. Just super groovy. Now, how am I going to use this? Well, for now, let's do all the code in line, shall we? And then look how you might want to split that afterwards. Let's bring in MongoDB, like so. And let's do a load of things. We need to create a server. Oops, I can't type. Now, locally it's running on 127.0.0.1, localhost, obviously, on port 27017. I need a client, which is actually created around that. I'm going to call it test instance, or whatever I want to call it right now, passing in the server. And then we need to say client.open, and if there's an error, I need to do something with that error. Shit. If error, throw error, whatever. And we need a collection of this thing, which is scores. If there's an error, please give us scores. Thank you very much. If error, throw error. We're seeing some stuff here, aren't we? We're getting a bit repetitive. And client, what we need to do here is, if we have the scores collection, we need to say, hey, scores.insert name and score. There we go. Oh, and we have another callback over here. There we go. If there's an error, obviously, do something about that. If there's an error, then throw the error. Else, Redis.send. Wowzers. So here we see something that's a bit nasty. This is the whole callback hell thing people worry about all the time with Node.js. But we can solve this with a bit of cunning refactoring, and indeed, let's go and do that now. What I generally do when I'm using any kind of database inside Node.js is I tend to create a db.js file in my root. It keeps things easy. And what I do is I take MongoDB, in this case here, I bring that in. I'll do some connections and whatever. Oops. There we go. On startup, when I pull this in, I'll just do the connection there and then. Obviously, I'll throw errors if things fall over. I'll go and get the collection over here. And because we're in JavaScript, I can modify this object by cheekiness. And say client.scores equals scores. Wow. And then I'm going to export this whole thing. Now what this means simply is that if I go over here and include my DB, all I have to do now is db.scores.insert, and I get rid of all those nasty callbacks in my request, which is nice. This is how I tend to work in Node.js an awful lot. If it starts getting ugly, I fix it. I make the problem go away, and then everyone's happy. So there we go. When I post up, I pass data in, I store it, and then I return success if there is one. It is absolutely glorious. Now then, let's see if this works. There, that worked. There were no errors. Everyone was super happy. There's a success. Okay. Obviously, I can't see the data in the database yet. We'll get back to that in a second. You know, it's take things slowly, shall we? Now, I want to deploy this. And we have a problem when we deploy this. Let me just close all this stuff and tidy things up a little bit. Added some Mongos. There we go. My problem with this is that my DBJS is connecting to localhost on 27,017. Oh, when I'm doing development, that's actually ideal. I want it to be there. I want it to be developing locally. I don't want to be developing against a remote database. That'd be horrible. But at the same time, I want to be able to connect to a remote database when I deploy up to production. So here we have space 134, and this is where my virtual machine comes in. My virtual machine is something I prepared earlier, and all I've done here is installed MongoDB on it. It's just I've installed Ubuntu on that machine because it's a default image that's provided, and I've installed MongoDB on it and configured it, and I've put an appropriate firewall on so it's only accessible from Azure, etc, etc, etc. And what I care about is public IP address over here. Now if I deploy this, I can just do this. I can deploy that with that IP address and it'll just work. That's not really how I like to do things. What I like to do is I like to work with a config.js of some sort. And the thing about this config.js is it's just code, but it doesn't stop you from returning a plain old object literal as part of this piece of code over here. And here we can do things like web port. Well, I want you to be process.m.port, obviously. And I can say, hey, Mongo IP, that's 127.0.0.1. And Mongo port, well, that's obviously going to be 27.0.1.7. And I can say MongoDB, that's going to be test instance. Well, because this is just code, what I can actually do is say var configs equals dev and production. There we go. And inside dev, I can do this stuff. And inside production, I can do something completely different. So inside dev, you know what? We'll always run on port 8003, obviously. And on the server, we will always use the remote database that we've access to, which is 137.117.8.96. Now, obviously, by the time this is actually broadcast, all this stuff will be deleted, so don't bother trying to connect to that because it'll be gone. That's super cool. And then down here, all I have to do is say, okay, because I've only got code, and say config is going to be equal to process I can't remember what it's called. Well, that's inconvenient, isn't it? Let's go and have a look over here and have a look at configuration for the website. And this will tell us. Over here in the portal, we have all the configuration for our website. And that's not quite what I was looking for. Okay, never mind. There's an environment variable passed up by Azure, which tells you what the actual environment is. And because I can't remember what that environment variable is, I'll just go and put that in myself now. Let's just go and do that manually. App settings, environment, and then say production. There we go. Beautiful. I'm just going to save that. All right, cool. Environment. And say if there isn't one of those, we'll revert back to dev. And what this means is we can say module.exports equals configs config ID. There we go. And then I can use this from DB quite happily. I can say, hey, you know what? Config equals required.config. And instead of this, I can say config.mongoip, config.mongoport. And down here, config.mongodb. There we go. Now I've done this, theoretically I can deploy and it'll work both in the cloud and locally. Let's go and give that a go and let's hope I haven't messed anything up too much. Added the mongos and the configs. Actually, let's make sure it works locally first, shall we? So, not rush into anything. Spacebar, submit, everything's good. And there were no errors, okay. You know, we'll assume that that's all good then, shall we? Git push Azure Master. Now, obviously, Azure's going to have to now install MongoDB for me. That's cool, not a problem. We'll see that it happily compiles those native components without too much worry or hassle, which is nice. I'm just going to see how that happens. Oh, there we go, we're getting MongoDB. This is good, very good. Getting the BSON stuff, and there we go, we're building native components, and that just worked on Windows perfectly fine. So if I go to space 1234 now, with any luck, and I'm not promising anything, we have errors, okay, fair enough. I was afraid of that, I was very much afraid of that, I figured I'd make a mess of this. I am just going to cheat for this, unless anything's really obvious. I could just have made a mistake with... No, that seems right to me. Okay. That's a real shame. It's a real shame indeed. Gonna do a complete cheat and just say, you know what? Config.production. There we go. Should still work locally anyway. That's how I'd normally do things. On a good day, that'll be working fine. So I'm going to hack that up completely. But we'll pretend we didn't see that. And with any luck, it will actually connect. There we go. Oh dear, okay, we have errors. Errors are bad. Now, I haven't got any logging set up yet, which is going to make things a little more tricky. And because I haven't got any errors happening in my actual request code, it's going to be even more tricky. So, here's what I'm going to do. And this is a trick that we don't want to try at home too often. I'm going to take all that code. I'm going to open up server.js and I'm going to say, hey, you know what? App.get error. I'm going to paste that in there and say, you know what? Who cares? Everything's fine. Hooray! I'm also going to open up my IIS config over here. I'm going to enable logging, I'm going to enable debugging, and I'm going to enable... Ah! It's called Node-env. There you go. That's what I was looking for before. Ha! I knew it was there somewhere. Okay. Yes, 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 yes. Beautiful. Let's go and add that. So what I've done here is I've just created an endpoint which takes that code and runs it to see what goes on. I will hope that we get a meaningful error and I can fix it, because otherwise I'm going to have to just push on and pretend that worked. I'm going to blame on heat. Because Azure's pretty hot. Ah, there we go. I didn't install Express Validator properly. So it's got absolutely nothing to do with Mongo at all. That's to put the error messages on. So let's get rid of that. I didn't do that. You didn't see it. Nothing happened. And let's see those error messages there. And let's open up config again. And let's change this so it actually uses Node-env. There we go. Beautiful. Thank you very much, IIS Node. In case you're wondering, that comes from here. So there's Node-env production. That's what we're getting it from. And that's going to map up to those things there and just work. Okay. So let's just go in here and say config ID. Because hey, if it's working, that's good. I forgot to use save when I install Express Validator. Because I'm a numpty. So I did Express Validator. There we go. It always helps when you're building these applications to turn on dev errors and logging on the server so you can actually see what's going on. Now clearly you don't want to show clearly you don't want to be showing error messages to all and sundry when you've actually deployed to production. But you know, when you're diagnosing these things to begin with, when you're going for the first time, it's useful to have these error messages being visible. So we just learned that there. Okay, now we're installing Express Validator, which means our lives should get much better from now on. There we go, good. That means I'm talking to the Azure MongoDB installer I've got running, and we're all very happy people. Okay, so now I've got this far. Well, there's no point in putting scores up there unless we also have high scores. So let's do that. Let's have a look how we do high scores. Back into Vim server over here. And let's make a new endpoint called app post high scores. Very imaginative. All I'm going to do here is say db.scores. Find me all the scores, sort them on the score field, limit them to the top 10, give me an array and the items, and then render a view called high scores, oddly enough, and pass in the scores as set of items. There we go. If throw air, there we go. I haven't currently got a high scores template, so let's go and have a look how we do that. In my views directory, I'm going to create a file called highscores.jade, because that's what we need. And I'm simply going to say, please extend the master template that we've got. In my block head, I want to have a title of high scores. And in my block content, I'm going to have another hero unit, because I like those. And say, hey, hold that space. High scores. I'm going to do this as a DL list. Now, iteration in Jade is quite nice. Just, you know, say, hey, each item in the scores that I've been passed in, please do a item.name and an item.score. That should just work. Shall we have a look at that? Well, why not? I'm feeling brave. Okay, well, that didn't work, did it? And that's because I made it as a post and not a get. There we go. Those are my high scores. They're ordered badly because I've not set the things up properly, but the gist is there. That's kind of nice. And that's all just from that lovely Jade template here, and a very simple query over here. And this is all super cool. Now, obviously I'm just going to add those and say high scores added and get that up to the server so my client can see it. It's very important to do that. But we actually noticed something before, which was, well, I got errors, and those errors were effectively going to dev null, which is funny because I'm using Mongo, so if anything, you expect the data to go to dev null. If I go to... Oh, hey, this is the time where I'd normally ask the audience what my game's actually called. Space 1234. There we go. Hopefully, we have a different set of high scores over here. There we go. We have one high score, which is 13. Fairly sure I could do better than that if I had more time on my hands to hold down the space bar. Yes, indeed. Very exciting. Now, logging. Currently, as said, my logs are pretty much going to dev null. And that's not to say they are truly going to dev null. If you look inside my configuration over here, you know, I can turn on logging over here and I can say, you know what, please log to the file system, and I can go and get those from FTP if I want to. And if I look in the dashboard over here, I actually have the FTP diagnostic logs. I can go up there and have a look at them if I want to. But most of the time, it's not really what you want. And also, we haven't really got any logging going on anyway. So I'm going to install a module which I normally use for this stuff, which is called Winston. So npm install Winston. There we go. And I'm actually just throwing errors inside my express handlers currently. And I'm doing that for all right reasons. What that means is I can handle my errors in a very, very simple manner. Let's go and pull Winston. There we go. And after I've declared all of my routes, so down here, what I can do is make a special kind of handler, app use middleware, which takes in an error, request, response, and next. There we go. And down here, if there's any kind of error, I'm just going to dump it out to the Winston error log with the error message, the error.stack, and the whole error as metadata on top of that. There we go. And I'm going to send back to the user a 500 message saying generic error response. So I'm going to hide the errors from the user myself rather than relying on the infrastructure to do it. And for purpose demonstration only, let's make an error page. There we go. Throw new error. This is an error. Oh noes! Absolutely beautiful. So if I go to localhost error now, we get a generic error response. If you look at our list down here, we're actually logging the error at the command line. And this will happen for the MongoDB errors, the missing module errors, and everything else as well. It's kind of a global accept handler for all my express handlers, which is super cool. Now, logging to the command line is all very well and good, but that's not all we want to do. In the cloud, that's not what we want to do at all. So this is where you'd actually install something called SkyWriter. One of the cool things about Node on Azure is a lot of people have already gone out there and written modules on top of the infrastructure that Azure provides. So in this case here, Winston SkyWriter actually writes to an Azure table storage, which I've already set up somewhere else as well. I'm not going to go through this entire demo because I haven't got much time left. But I was going to show how I'd actually use this. Now, locally, what I could do is say, hey, you know what, winston.add winston.transport.skywriter, and then configure it with the name of the account and my big long key, which I'm not going to type out, but it looks something like that, which I've copied and pasted from the URL. Whatever, there you go. And this will now automatically log to the Azure table in Azure. Now obviously this is no good because it's only going to work locally. So what I would normally do is that config I set up earlier, I'm going to actually give it a method saying configure logging, passing in Winston. There we go. And inside my config thing over here, I'm going to say that configure logging, taking in Winston, does nothing for development, but for cloud, I'm going to put that code I had before. There you go. This is one of the advantages of using configuration files that are actually code. Now, I'm not going to go ahead and deploy this because I have actually run out of time, but the end result of this demo is in the cloud, I'd be logging my error messages and exceptions to Azure Table Storage, and locally, I'd be logging everything to the command line, and that's really super cool. And there's packages for all of these things inside the npm repository, which is super cool. I mean, if you do I think it's npm search Azure. That's what I figured. Oh, I have not got an index yet. Never mind. There's hundreds of modules inside npm for dealing with Azure, especially including the ones from Microsoft themselves, which are all released into open source licenses. And that's kind of cool. Now, if you are on Windows or on Mac, you have all sorts of tooling available for working with Node. I believe on Windows, you actually have WebMatrix, which just works and does all the stuff out of the box without having to drop to command line. Now, obviously, I do command line because it's what I'm used to. But that's one of the cool things about building Azure websites using this technology, or anything Azure websites at all, actually, is that it does enable cross-platform development. So different members of the team can work how they like. And one of the good things about Node is that you can all argue amongst yourselves about which modules you actually want to be using at any one time anyway. And that's super cool. So anyway, you know, that's my demo, that's my game, that's my logging, that's my modules, that's my Azure. I'm super stoked about this stuff, and I'm really glad to see that Microsoft supporting it. I encourage you all to go and have a look at it and give it a go. Now I'm going to go and do some more surfing. Thank you very much and good day.